Romans chapter number 4. We want to start here. Remember, we've been talking. The Lord said to me, let me back up. The Lord said to me, I want you in this new emphasis. Remember, the Lord gave me a new assignment. He said, I want you to train this congregation in the things of the Spirit and develop their faith to move with the Holy Ghost. Paraphrasing, I don't remember the exact words. So we've been doing that. Spent a lot more time on that. And then he spoke to me and said, in that assignment, you're going to have to take an extended period of time and teach on faith every year. Because we don't want to lose sight of, we don't want to get into the, there's a ditch on both sides of the center of the road here. The ditch on one side is all up to us and faith and our faith. And ditch on the other side is, it's all up to the Holy Ghost and just His sovereign moving of the Spirit, you know. And that's not true. There's a balance in the middle of the road. The Holy Ghost moves, and healings happen, and so forth and so on. But there's times whenever we've got to initiate healing by faith, or initiate what we need by faith. And so we've got to keep a good balance of these things. Say word and spirit. Amen. Can I put this here, Brother Cameron? You'll be guarding that? All right. Man, nobody gets that. I don't know how much it is, so just leave it, lay right there. We've got to stay with the message of faith and understand, because there's a lot of wrong doctrines that understanding this message will clear up. Understanding this message will clear up a lot of wrong doctrines, including the sovereignty of God. I know people really fuss and spit out their teeth when I come against the sovereignty of God, but the word's not even in the Bible. Somebody said, isn't God sovereign? Well, in the sense that the Bible preaches, yeah, but not the sense people preach it. We won't get into that, but God, there's a lot of things Jesus said according to your faith. Not according to my sovereignty, but according to our faith. Man has a part in receiving what God wants to do. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so, but we've begun that series talking about the subject of faith. And I want to start here again this morning in Romans chapter number 4, if you can handle it. Not only can we handle it, we hunger for it. Isn't that right? I don't want to go to heaven and find out what could have happened and what God could have done if I'd have learned this. Amen? I want to learn it. We're getting it. Amen? Romans chapter number 4. I preached a whole sermon last night. I wish I'd have recorded it. I just started drawing up out of my spirit, and thing after thing, revelation after revelation started flowing. And and then got over into some other things. But we're going to just follow what the Holy Ghost said last night. Romans chapter 4, and let's start reading in verse 16. He said, therefore, it is of faith. Well, let's back up to verse number 13. The promise that he should be the heir of the world, talking about Abraham, that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. In other words, through keeping the law. But through the righteousness of faith. Or let's put it this way, the rightness of faith. Amen. Faith is right.
Yes.
It's righteous. Yes. It's also how we become the righteousness of God.
Yes.
But it's also saying here that faith is right. It's the right way. It's how you get into these promises that were made to Abraham. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Heir of the world literally means inheriting the planet. The word world means planet, not world system like it is in some other places in the Bible. We actually, through faith with Abraham, have inherited this planet. You better learn how to rule over it, because the day's coming where you're going to rule and reign with Christ. But the training to do that is in this life. Oh, we could go places there too. But verse 14, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise of none effect. Because the law works wrath. Where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith. In other words, these promises are by faith. Receiving these promises are by faith. That it might be by grace. Grace provided them. Faith enters into them. The emphasis of grace can be good today if it's kept in line with the revelation of faith. But there's a lot of error in the message that has been pushed in the area of grace. That's not because we're against grace. What we have is because of His grace. He gave it to us by grace. It was faith that we used to enter into it. But if He hadn't provided by His grace, us believing God would have done nothing. So there's two sides to that, isn't there? Then he said in verse number 16, let's read verse 15. The law works wrath. Where no law is, there is no transgression. Another verse you could spend a lot of time on. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham. Amen. The faith of Abraham. Who is the daddy, the papa of us all? Now, that's stated in the New Testament over and over again in various ways that He's the father of faith. He's the father of faith. And in other words, we're all to look back to Him and say, that's how you believe God. Amen. Over and over and over again. And we'll see how He learned how to believe God here in a verse or two. But yet, right on the other hand, the Bible says, you go back a few verses here, this is the fourth chapter, in verse number 12, for example. Well, really, you could read the whole verses 1 through 12, but I'll just read verse number 12. It says, that Abraham's the father of circumcision to them which are not of the circumcision only, but to them also who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Notice, we're to walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham. Yeah. You remember Hebrews 6:12? It talks about we are not to be slothful, but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So we're to imitate these fathers of our faith. We're to imitate Abraham. Abraham's the main one it's talking about, if you look at the whole context. So we're to imitate Abraham and his faith. He's the father of faith. He showed us a way to righteousness. Apart from the law, He showed us the way to receive promises apart from good works, and it's through faith. Amen. Abraham learned that, and he was taught that by God. Yes. All right, now look at verse number. That's verse number. In fact, it'd be best to see the flow into verse 17. Best to read verse 16 again. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, so much happening here. These promises were not just to Abraham. Right. They were to Abraham and his seed. Now, you got to know Galatians 3 if you really want to understand this. We'll come back to Romans 4. Go over to Galatians chapter number 3. Don't lose your place there in Romans 4, but Galatians chapter number 3. Tell your neighbor, I'm getting excited already. Galatians chapter 3 says that Christ, verse number 13, we're going to back up in a little bit later. We're going to back up even further. But verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on Abraham. Come on Abraham. No, come on the Gentiles. Through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Oh, so it's not just for Abraham. And it's not just one promise to inherit the earth. It's the promise of the blessing. The blessing. That we might, look at verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, when it says the promise of the Spirit, don't just think the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's part of the promise of the Spirit. But the promise of the Spirit includes, well, there's a whole lot here, but it includes being led by the Spirit. It also includes, really what he's saying is the promise made by the Spirit. The Spirit spoke to Abraham. So then we could go on and say then, If you read verse 15 down there through verse 16, let's read verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, it's no man disannuls or adds thereunto. Talking about the covenant God made with Abraham. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many. In other words, plural. But to as of one, and to thy seed. Remember, he said, the promises were made to Abraham and his seed, singular. So he didn't say plural. Somebody said, well, that means we're not all in it then. Wait a minute. No, he said, to thy seed, not seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed. He said, Abraham and thy seed, which is Christ. Abraham and thy seed is who's blessed. And Jesus is the seed of Abraham. Come on now. So if anyone in Christ is the seed of Abraham. Now, Pastor, you added to that. Okay, keep reading. Go down to verse number 28. There is neither Jew, the same third chapter. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For all are one in Christ. And if ye be Christ's, in other words, you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. You've heard that too often. You're not excited about it. We are blessed with Abraham's blessing in Christ. The blessing was to Abraham and to his seed, and that's Jesus. And if we're in Christ, we're one with that. We're one with Christ in the blessing.
That's right. In the blessing.
No wonder the Bible says in Romans 8 that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have inherited this blessing in Jesus Christ. What he got, we got. Hallelujah. Well, if you don't know what he got, then you don't know what you got. People talk about what Jesus got, and you always need to remember, and me too. And any believer got the same thing Jesus got. That's why it says we were raised up together, made to sit together. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Hallelujah. When he threw off the forces of darkness, he threw them off of us.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Oh, my. Praise God. Hallelujah. So back to Romans 4 now. Romans chapter 4. Let's start again in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. See, we didn't do what Jesus did for us. That was all the grace of God. But there's a side we've got to play. There's a part we've got to play, and it's our faith. It is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. It's faith that makes the promise sure to anybody. It's certain to people of faith. Certain to people of faith. That the end, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to them all only which are of the law, but to them also which are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He's the father of a multitude. Jesus, or God promised that. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. That's what God said to him. Yeah. Now notice, before him whom he believed. Talking about Abraham, before God whom he believed. Yeah. Even God, it says there, even God who quickens the dead. And calleth those things which be not as though they were.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Now, God said to Abraham. Now, if you don't understand the history of this, we'll just bring you up to speed. God said to Abraham, I have made thee, it said it here, I have made thee the father of many nations. He didn't say, I'm going to make you. He said, I have made thee. He didn't have a son or a child. Sarah, he and Sarah didn't have a son or a child. Sarah wasn't able to physically conceive at that time. Whenever God said that, they were in older years, past the age of childbearing. Now, here's a place you can start getting your mind involved, like we're talking about in the offering. You got to keep your mind out of things God says. Because, I mean, you could look, and first of all, they did. They laughed. Remember, God was talking to Abraham, and Sarah was in the tent, and Sarah laughed. She wasn't laughing for joy because she's going to have a baby. She's laughing in unbelief. And she said, shall I, conceive my old man being old, I forget the word she used. And besides that, I've not been able to conceive. And so she's in unbelief. And the angel heard and said, well, I heard Sarah laugh. Oh, no, I didn't laugh. Oh, yes, you did. Yes, you did. But they made some changes. They got into faith. How many of you know it doesn't matter how you start out? What matters is how you finish. You can start out in unbelief and say, wait a minute. My way isn't working out for me. I'm going to side in with God. And that's what they did. And they started doing what these verses say. And there's so much revelation about walking by faith in these verses. And he's the father of our faith. And we're to learn from him. This is the most informative, the most information about Abraham and his faith in the New Testament in these few little verses here. Abraham's faith is mentioned all throughout the Bible, but it's mentioned in more clarity and more definition here than in any other place. Well, let's spend some time looking at how to walk by faith.
Amen.
Because you can't have Abraham's blessing without Abraham's faith.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you can find that out because Jesus, in fact, if you want to go there, don't lose your place in the fourth chapter. Don't lose your place in the fourth chapter of Romans. But go back to John's Gospel, the 20th chapter. John chapter number 20. Let's see if we can learn something further here.
Amen.
We're teaching on faith.
Amen.
Are you interested?
Yes, sir.
Teaching on faith. This is the story whenever John records the story whenever Jesus had risen from the dead, and there was some confusion as to what had happened. The stones rolled away. You remember the story. Some people believed, others didn't. Jesus, after 8 days, Jesus appeared to the disciples and talked to them and showed himself to them, and Thomas wasn't there. And so they said later, we've seen the Lord. Remember that? And so look here in chapter number 20. The other disciples, that's verse number 25. Then the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. In other words, notice he didn't say, at least, here's one thing we need about Thomas at least, he was honest. He didn't say, I just can't believe that. People today say, I just can't believe that. Read, somebody says something from the Bible or something, I just can't believe that. A believer says, I just can't believe that. Who ever heard of a believer who can't believe? He didn't say, I can't believe it. He said, I won't. He said, do you see how he said it there? Except I see in his hands the print of the nails. And I got to go beyond that and put my finger. I got to feel it in the print of the nails. Make sure it's not a tattoo. And put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe. I won't do it. I won't do it. People today say, I just can't believe it. Stop lying. You can if you choose to. After 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas. Now, let me ask you a question. Jesus is getting ready to repeat almost verbatim what Thomas said. Regarding every point that Thomas made, Jesus hit every point that he made in his statement. He's getting ready. Now, let me ask you a question. Was Jesus physically present there when Thomas made that statement?
No.
But Jesus comes and appears and repeats him almost verbatim.
Yeah. Yep.
So did he hear it?
Yes,
he did. Where Jesus was in the spirit realm, did he hear what Thomas said?
Yes.
Yeah, Pastor, he heard it because he said it in prayer. No, he didn't. He didn't even say it in prayer.
No, he didn't.
So he said, he hears us when we pray. Yeah, he does. But he also hears you when you're talking to a friend.
All right. Come on.
We're just always behind. I don't know what we're going to do. In other words, the spirit realm's listening to your words. Jesus, God in the spirit realm, angels in the spirit realm, but also demons and evil forces. They're listening to your words. Your words are something for them to grab onto and work in your life. Now, Jesus wasn't there physically present, but look at what he says. Verse number 27, he said to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hand." Now, reach hither thy finger. In other words, the finger is to touch the hole in his hand. And behold my hand. Thomas had said, except I see and touch it. Jesus said, okay, see it and touch it. Then he said, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And look at what Thomas said down there in verse number 25. And thrust my hand into his side. Jesus heard exactly what he said. Our words when we pray are important, but our words whenever we're going about our day are important. So Jesus said, and then he said this, and he thrust it into my side, and be not what? Faithless, but believing. Don't be faithless. Don't be faithless. Is Thomas a man of faith? Jesus said, faithless. Be not faithless, but believing. Right? Faithless. Be not faithless, but believing. Verse 28. Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. In other words, you're raised from the dead. This really you. It's really you. I saw you crucified. I saw the sword in your side. I saw the nails in your hands. That's really you, Jesus. My Lord and my God. He confessed him. He acknowledged him. He said, it's you. It's you. And then notice what happened. Jesus said unto him, verse 29, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Wait. What about them? Oh, blessed. Blessed with what? Abraham's blessing.
Yeah.
Blessed. Ooh, Jesus. Blessed with Abraham's blessing. How do you get into Abraham's blessing? You don't see, but you believe. In other words, you don't wait to see something to believe. Believe that it's so. God said some things about Abraham, and it did not appear to be so. You know how he got into it, though? He got into it by learning to walk by faith. If you want Abraham's blessing, you can't have the Thomas kind of faith. I'm interested in Abraham's blessing, but I got to learn to walk in Abraham's kind of faith. Okay, now put this all together here. It said back there in Romans, it said that Abraham, before him whom he believed, before God whom he believed, called things that be not as though they are. Abraham's faith called things that be not as though they are. And he did it before God whom he believed. Now, there's a whole lot in that. Before you look up the word before, it brings out the meaning of what it's talking about. Abraham did this before God, meaning face to face with God. If you look it up, it's Abraham watching God, and God said to him, you're the father of a multitude. At first he doubted it, you remember, and laughed. But then he got before God, and God saying again, you're the father of a multitude. So he just said, I'm the father of a multitude. In other words, he imitated God. So it really wasn't the faith of Abraham although it was, but Abraham learned it from God. It was the God kind of faith.
Amen. Yeah, yeah.
Because God said, you are Abraham. Remember, his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, or Abraham, however you want to say it. And that means now a father of a multitude. Before that, it just meant something different, but now it means a father. And so he's calling himself father even before it came to pass. That's the kind of faith that gets into Abraham's kind of blessings.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. How can you sit in your seat? I don't know how you can sit there. Pastor, I don't know how to get into it. Now you do. Now you do. You start calling things that be not as though they are. Find what God said in His Word and start saying it. Don't lie against the truth. The Bible said, let God be true and every man a liar. If God said it, let's call everybody else lying about it and say God said it and it's true. That's good enough for me. I'm going to start to say what God said.
Yeah.
If He says blessed, I'm saying blessed.
That's right.
He said He supplies all my needs. I say He supplies all my needs.
That's right.
We do that before God. And we get that kind of, see, that's the God kind of faith.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we can't have the God kind of faith, Pastor. Well, we must be able to because Mark 11:22, Jesus said, King James says, have faith in God.
Yes. Come on.
But that's really not what the Greek says. The Greek says, have the faith of God.
Right.
In other words, like God, have faith like God.
Right.
Well, how can you have the faith of God? It's easy. God showed us how to do it, and He also dealt us the measure of the God kind of faith.
That's right.
Here's the thing. That's how you got saved. You've already used this. You already did it. Here's the thing. Don't stop there. That faith got you into salvation. Now keep using that faith for everything else that God said. Walk by faith rather than by sight in all these areas of redemption, all these rights and privileges, and always mix faith. Remember Hebrews 4 talks about mixing faith with the Word, mixing faith with what God has spoken. This is how you mix it. Your mixer's right here.
Amen.
When God says something, you say, that's who I am. That's who I am. That's me. People, there's a lot of people in our world that are trying to discover who they are. Who am I? They're looking. They need an identity. Well, God is He's the one that created you. He's the human being manufacturer. And He has the patent to you. He's got all the instructions of how you work. He's got it all. And so if you read it, it's called the Bible.
That's right.
If you read it and say, that's who I am. Whenever you find out how the one who made you says you are, that'd be accurate. Rather than you thinking I'm this way or that way. You know, well, that's the Irish in me. No, it's not who God said you are. Not who God said you are. Amen. You might be given to a temper, but you say, I'm a love child of a love God. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. And the love of Christ constraineth me. For you know it, you're acting different than the Irish. You know, that's just what people say. I'm not picking on the Irish. I'm just saying, you know, people make excuses. Well, that's the this in me. That's the German in me. That's the Irish. That's the whatever. No, that's the flesh. And that's not who you are. Who you are is a new creation.
Yes, amen.
Talk about yourself in the light of the new creation.
Yes,
and so God said, Jesus said, Mark 11:22, have the faith of God. Have faith like God has.
Yes.
Well, we can do that then, or else Jesus didn't mean what He said.
Yes.
We can do it. Tell your neighbor we can do it. We can have faith like God.
Yes.
We're very capable. We're created in God's image. Very capable of the God kind of faith.
Yeah.
The God kind of faith. You said the God kind? You mean there's another kind? Yeah, Jesus said so in John 20. Did you get it? Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas said, my Lord, my God. He said, Thomas, because you've seen me, you've believed. Wait. Is he faithless? Now he's seen, he's believing. Is he faithless or is he believing? He's faithless as far as the God kind of faith. But he's believing because he sees, which is the human kind of faith. We call it the Thomas kind of faith, but we all got it.
Yeah.
In the flesh. I'm not talking about in the new creation. In the flesh, we can all live on that level to where we don't believe something until we see it. We can live on that level. We're very capable of that. Any carnal Christian can do it. Amen. And just not, well, I'm just real. I just say it like it is. If I'm not healed, then I don't say I'm healed. We know you're real, real carnal. Amen. Y'all are looking at me like you've heard this before. If you're not excited about it, it's because you haven't been living this way. This is the most adventurous life you can live. This, I'm telling you what, Jesus, remember, Jesus spoke to a fig tree. He said, have faith in God. And then he ended up speaking to a fig tree. And because they said it withered away. And look, the fig tree is withered away. He said, have faith in God. In other words, you can talk to this faith. This God kind of faith can talk to things. And they line up with what you say. Whoa. Oh, I don't believe that, Pastor. Well, then you don't believe Jesus. Because Jesus didn't say, I'm Jesus, I can have the God kind of faith. We know he did. He had that kind of faith because he did it. He operated in the God kind of faith. He spoke it, believed it, and it came to pass. That's the curse of the fig tree. We know he had it. But what I'm saying is, Jesus didn't say, this is a deity trick because I'm deity, I can do this. You mere mortals can't do that. No, he said, have, he's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the disciples. Have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. Have faith like God has.
Amen.
Well, if we can't do that, what's he telling us to have it for? Now, he's not talking here about having it by getting the measure. He's talking about using it. And actually, the same word translated there, have, in the new, in 1 Peter, I believe it's 1 Peter, it's been a while since I looked up the verse, but it's the word is translated, the same Greek word translated in Mark 11, 22, have faith in God, have is translated use over in another verse in 1 Peter. Use the faith of God. You have it, use it.
Amen.
You got the tool to fix a lot of stuff in life. Given to you by God. See, this is not just every person in the universe has it. No, not every person in the universe has it. The Bible said in Romans there, where it talks about God dealt to every man the measure of faith, Romans 12:3. He's talking, I say to every man among you that God's dealt to every one of you the measure of faith. Another verse over in 2 Thessalonians says, all men have not faith. He's talking about the God kind. Everybody's got human faith. They can believe something when they see it. But not all men have this kind.
Right.
Believers do. Born again people do. God dealt to them the measure of faith. In fact, if you look up the word dealt there, it means to distribute shares and portions. So you're a shareholder in the God kind of faith. Woo. Oh. Whose kind? God's. Will it do for you what it will do for God? Maybe not on his level, but it'll do the same things. It'll do the same things. Hallelujah. I said it'll do the same thing. Notice Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Verily I say unto whoever say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, whoever. He didn't say, if God says to this mountain, because God's faith will do that, you know, the faith of God will do that. No, he said, if you'll take this God kind of faith and you'll say. See, whenever he said, have the faith of God, the very first thing he said was say. That's how you have it. You say something. That's how Abraham had it. He saw God saying, you're the father of multitude. And he said, I'm the father of multitude. Now he has the God kind of faith. Believes it in his heart and says it. Jesus said, if you have the faith of God, whoever will say. Very first thing he said, say.
Say
something. What are you going to say when the doctor says something? What are you going to say? Well, I mean, the doctor said. That's not up to what the doctor said. It's up to what you say.
That's right.
Pastor, I've heard this before. So have I. I've preached it more often than you've heard it, but I'm still happy about it. It's working for me. This is how you walk in Abraham's blessing. Oh, Jesus. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, thrust it in my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas said, my Lord, my God, Thomas, because you have seen me, thou hast believed. There's no, basically he's saying there's no blessing in that. The blessing is in that you, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are they that have the Abraham kind of faith, which he learned from God. Blessed are they that use the God kind of faith. Now people look at us like we are from another planet. When the doctor says you're going to die in 6 months, and we say, by his stripes I was healed. I'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. They look at us like we're Martians. Say, you're the strangest people on earth. Except it's strange we're always blessed. It's strange we keep living. When the doctor said you're going to die. What are we up to now? 10 people healed of cancer now? 10, 11, something like that? Huh? And that's just cancer. Many of them terminal. But the other, many other things happening all the time. Don't call things strange whenever it's working. You ought to go, what is that? I want to know about that. Why people fight their answer is beyond me. It's because they've been religiously taught rather than New Testament taught. Say this is where our help is. So where's the blessing? It's in the Abraham. Where's Abraham's blessing? It's in his kind of faith. Okay, go back to Romans now. You can't have Abraham's blessing with the Thomas kind of faith. Amen. Back in Romans, we read in verse 16, therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Really, it's saying a couple of things there. One thing it's saying is, he's our father in the faith. I've made thee a father of many nations. Now, Abraham, now, it kind of, the way this sentence is structured, it doesn't, you're like, who's the subject here when it says, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls us things. It's a little bit confusing, but let's go back to verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, at the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of. So the faith of Abraham is the emphasis in verse number 16. And the fact that the promise is by that faith. The faith of Abraham. Isn't that the subject?
Yes, sir.
Now, in verse 17, some things are in quotes. As it is written. Now, how many of you know the quotes weren't an original text? They tried to decide where the quotes should go. As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations. And then, because that's just describing what it said earlier about, he said, God said, I'll make you the father of many nations. Now, you could say, you could read this this way. Let's go back to verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only that which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham before him whom he believed. Did you get that? Because the filler there is just talking about what God said about him being the father of a multitude. Isn't that right? So you could read the promise is through faith by grace, amen, to anyone who's of faith, like Abraham, who before God, verse 17, called things that be not as though they were. Because even God, who quickeneth the dead, is also just some descriptions about God, not talking about Abraham's faith. Can you see that? So the promise, these promises, if you read verse 16 and 17 and paraphrase them, you got to meditate on it to really see it sometimes. But if you meditate on it and see it, and it'll come clear that all people can have faith like Abraham and do it like Abraham before God. He just saw God say it and he said, that's who I am. And it ended up that what he was saying wasn't even so in the natural realm yet. But he called things that be not as though they were. Somebody said, yeah, but it was God that did that. Absolutely. But Abraham saw God do that and did it himself. Every time he said his name. We know that's true because every time he said to somebody, "Hello, I'm Abraham." He just told them he's the father of a multitude because that's what his name means. So he was going around calling himself a father of a multitude when he wasn't a father. So he was calling things that be not as though they were. People fuss with us about this, but it's so clear right there. So clear. That's how God rolls. And listen, that's how the faith of God rolls. It calls things that be not as though they are. And you and I can do that. It's legal. Somebody say, "Well, I can't do that. I'd be lying." Well, let me ask you a question. How can you lie when you're telling the truth? Well, I'm not telling the truth. I'm saying I'm healed, and I'm not. How can you be lying when you're telling the truth? But Pastor, I'm not saying the truth. We're asking, whose truth are you talking about? Sense, knowledge, evidence, or Bible truth? Which one are you going to hold as superior to the other? Thomas held what he saw and what he felt as a higher authority than what God said. Jesus had said all along he's going to raise from the dead. They didn't get that. God had said in the Old Testament he's going to raise him from the dead. So it was just a manifestation of what had been said. But Thomas said, "No, I'm not going to believe that till I see it, till I feel it." See, what he sees is sense, knowledge, evidence. And he lets that have a higher authority in his life than what God said. Amen. You got to ask which one's greater.
That's right.
Which one's greater? Is what God said greater than what you see, or is what you see greater than what God said? Remember that story, that lady, Pastor Nancy tells that story about the lady that went in, had a, I believe it was a mammogram, and they saw a spot. And the doctor turned, and she started crying because the doctor showed her turned the monitor and showed her the spot, the lump. You know, it looked like a dark spot on the whatever, the monitor there. And she turned away. She's a believer. She turned away and said, "Oh, God, if I just hadn't have seen that." You know, it hits you more, it becomes more real to you whenever you see that. And the Lord spoke to her and said, "Is what you see greater than what I said?" We got to ask ourselves the question in our life, is what we see greater than what God said? The answer is no. There's enough power. Remember, the Bible said that his word is quick and powerful. There's enough power in his word to drive out cancer. And it's greater than a monitor. Somebody said, "Well, are you saying that monitor's lying?" No, it's showing natural evidence. It's there in the natural. We don't deny natural realities. The Bible didn't say call things that be as though they're not. Amen. It says we call things that be not as though they were. What be not? Health and healing be not there. But what did Jesus do for us? He bore our sickness, carried our pain, and by his stripes we were healed. Well, that be not in my body at this time, so I'm going to call things that be not as though it was. I'm going to say my body's been healed by Jesus. Well, but Pastor, it's not. Do we have to go over it again? Huh? I'm telling you right here is where just the same. The Word of God is still the same. You are created in God's image and in God's class, very capable of the God kind of faith. Do you understand? That's you're capable of doing that. You're capable of calling things into existence that do not yet exist. You came too late to tell me that you can't do it. Too late. Too late.
Too late.
It's working already for me. But I tried that and it didn't work, Pastor. Well, let's see if Jesus said anything about trying. Whosoever shall try to say, to this mountain. Huh? Try? You mean we're not supposed to try? Boy, it's quiet in here. It's
good.
Huh? Come on now.
Amen.
See, we've got to get used to ruling and reigning through our words. We got to get used to saying something and it's coming to pass. Rather than, well, you know, I tried that. And what are we going to do with this message? What are we going to do with it? Huh? Are we going to just sit around and say, well, you know, I guess that works for everybody down there at the church? Or are we going to actually practice this? Huh? Calling things that be not as though they were. Now, the God kind of faith believes in the heart and says it with its mouth. And Jesus said that'll come to pass. Well, I said it yesterday, Pastor, and it didn't come to pass. We're imitators of those who through faith and patience, that means perseverance. Faith and perseverance inherit the promises. You might not see it after one saying. You might not see it after one saying. But just stick with it. Yeah. Yeah, just stick with it. Don't change because of any other report, any other person, any other doubter. In fact, if you have to get away from the doubters to be able to do it, just stay away from them. Amen. Get some new friends. Get some faith friends. Everybody needs four crazy faith friends. Crazy. I mean, they'll tear the roof off and carry up on the house. And everybody needs four of them, at least four of them. And if you can get more, get a whole bunch more. They'll believe God. I mean, they'll believe God. They'll peel paint off the wall believing God. You know what I'm talking about? They'll just get in there with you. You say, no, you're not going to die young like this. Come on now. Come on now. Well, we're just leaving it up to the Lord. Jesus said he's leaving it up to you. Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say, whosoever shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe in the heart. So, the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible said, she heard of Jesus. Faith comes by hearing. She heard of Jesus and she said, actually the Greek says she kept saying, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. So she, you know the story, she was like in a quarantine. She wasn't supposed to be out in public. She didn't have COVID, but she had an issue of blood.
Yes, sir.
Well, I could say something, but I won't say something. She violated quarantine. She said, I know where the power is.
That's right.
I heard. So I don't know if she heard a sermon. They didn't have cassettes, so maybe a friend told her. Somebody heard him preach, the Spirit of the Lord's on me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal. Healing power is available.
Yes, sir.
She heard that somehow. Somebody told her something. And she said, she heard it and she said. And that is what Jesus said after she was healed. Your faith made you whole.
That's right. Yeah.
She heard, she said, she acted on what she said, and Jesus said, your faith made you whole. So what she said was her faith speaking. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Well, but you don't, Pastor, you don't know, the doctor said. Well, what you say is going to violate what is seen.
Yeah.
That's what it means. Calling things that be not as though they were.
Yes, sir.
And you speak of them as if it already existed.
Yes, sir.
That's what one translation says. For call things that be not as though they are. Speak of future events as if they already existed.
Amen.
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 She spoke as if it already was so. And the Bible said, Jesus said, your faith made you whole. Your faith made, what made her whole?
Her faith.
Her faith made, okay. Oh, so, let me ask you a question. If her faith made her whole, will your faith make you whole?
Yes. Yeah.
Which kind?
The God kind.
Not the Thomas kind, not the human kind that sees it and believes it. You know, people, they say, they come in a healing line and the power of God drives away the symptoms. Yeah. And they say, Pastor, I got healed whenever hands were laid on me.
Uh-huh.
You know why they say that oftentimes? Because they saw it.
Yeah. They saw it.
If they stay in that arena, they'll lose it.
That's right.
They're not saying it because they believe it.
Yeah.
They're saying it because they saw it. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving your testimony. Don't misunderstand me. But my point is, you have to stay that you're healed not because you see it. You have to stay in the arena. You're healed because you heard by His stripes. You were healed and you believe it. Come what may in the physical body. I'm not healed because the symptoms left. I'm healed because He said by His stripes, I'm healed. Woo, Pastor, the doctor gave me a good report. If you were walking by faith, that would have been old news. Well, you should have been happy about it before the doctor said anything. That's the thing about faith. It's just whenever something shows up in manifestation, it's old news. You're already a long way down the road. I mean, that just had to show up. I mean, because we're holding that up against the report of the Word. Remember, whose report will you believe? We've already believed the report of the Lord. And so when the doctors or whoever says, look, we don't go, yay, it worked. No, we go, old news, I knew that. By His stripes, I'm healed. It's true because we hear it from the Word. If the Word says it, not because we see it. Amen. I'm not preaching against giving good testimonies. You understand? People need to hear good testimonies. But my point is, when you walk away from that testimony, you gave your testimony, walk away from that testimony and say, I'm so glad I'm healed because I see it, you know. I'm so glad I'm healed. The devil will try to put it back on you. Because there's nothing there to keep him from working. Day in, day out, see it, don't see it. Symptoms there, symptoms not there. By His stripes, I am healed. That's called living by faith. That's the way we live. Tell your neighbor, that's the way we live. Yeah, hallelujah. So we're created in God's image, in God's class, very capable of the God kind of faith. Now, if that bothers you that I say in God's class, I'm not talking about us being God. I'm talking about us being a spirit being. That's what I mean by in God's class. Let me rephrase that. He's not just a spirit being. He is a speaking spirit. He speaks out of His spirit and says things that He has in His heart for you. And they come to pass. You know, in the Genesis, in the original Hebrew, it doesn't say, let there be light. It said, light exist. He spoke light. He had that in His spirit. He wanted there to be light down here. So He spoke out of what He had in His spirit. Light exists. Light be. There it goes. Wow, God. Look what you can do. God says, I gave you a measure of that which created all things in the beginning. No, you're not going to create planets. No, you're not going to create sunballs in the fire, in the sky. But in your life, in your realm of authority, He's given you that faith to live your life by. Oh, hallelujah. Does that change everything? Let me tell you what it does. It is the great equalizer. Amen. You have equal opportunity with everybody else that's got this measure of faith, regardless of your race, education, opportunity, background, any of these things.
Amen.
Don't make excuses.
Right.
You, here you got the faith of God that created all things and that can change your world, frame your world, make it a totally different picture than what it used to be. And you unhook from that and you're over here talking about excuses. You got the answer right here.
It's right there.
I believe it's the Jerusalem Bible. I'd have to look it up again. Because I'm just preaching by the Holy Ghost this morning. I don't have a lot of notes. I believe, don't quote me, but I think it's the Jerusalem Bible there. Mark 11:23, and shall not doubt in his heart. Mark 11:23, it says, and I believe it's the Jerusalem Bible says, and shall not be separated from the statement he makes. Shall not be separated. Shall not be separated. Huh? Guess what? When you're making excuses, you're separated. It's right here, but you're separated from it. You can have faith and be separated from it. You can have faith in your heart and be separated because you're talking out of your head. You're talking, I don't have an education. I don't have any opportunities. I don't. You're separated from the faith you have. Do you know having faith will do you no more good than not having it if you don't use it? You ever heard us say, well, preachers say, you have to release your faith? What does that mean, release your faith? It's a little like, we've used this illustration many times. It's a little like somebody, and I've met people like this. They have money, but they don't want to use it. Scared to use it, afraid to use it. I don't want to run out. You know what I'm talking about? Well, and they want to bum it off of us. And they could spend the money and fix their house or do whatever they got to do. Come on now. You ever met somebody like that?
Yes, sir. Come on.
I have. But they have money. But see, having it's not going to do them any good. Having it in the bank, checking account, investments, wherever it is. They have it, but that's not going to do them any good where they have it. They've got to do what we would call turn loose of it. You know what I'm talking about? If they need a roof on their house, they got it in the bank, but they don't want to use it. You know, can somebody patch this? Somebody patch that? You're gonna do without a lot of stuff if you have it and don't turn loose of it. That's what we mean whenever, and then preachers mean whenever they say you got to turn your faith loose. It's like having money, but you don't want to turn loose. I was raised this way. I'm talking about relatives. That when we went out to eat, you paid for yours and they paid for theirs. Because they are all stingy. The way I was raised. You can tell them I said that. Tip a dollar. You know what I'm talking about? We changed a lot of it. We tried, we get around. We'd say, I'm paying for everybody. Oh, no. I said, we're paying for everybody. Next meal, you're like, well, they feel bad. They got to pay for everybody, you know. So it's starting to change, but.
Come on.
And they got money. Listen, my family's got money. But they don't want to turn loose of it. Now, I'm not preaching wasting money. You understand? But I'm just saying, some people, bless their darling heart, it's not doing them any good unless you use it. You can starve to death with a pocket full of money. And that's the way faith is. Having it's not enough. Jesus said, really what he's saying is, use the faith of God. Use the faith of God. You can have it and not use it, and it'll do you no good. You'd be no better off than if you didn't have it. No better off. So this is all simple preaching. But listen, it's really where the answers are. Amen? What are you saying? Now, notice Jesus didn't say, if you have faith under this mountain, faith is a mustard seed, you'll say unto this mountain. Notice he didn't say, if you have faith, that's enough. He said, you got to say. If you had faith, you'd say. You got to say something. He didn't say, if you just had faith in your heart, things don't respond to the faith of your heart. They respond to the faith in your mouth. That's natural things. Jesus used it on the tree. That's a natural thing. That's spiritual beings. Notice Jesus said, Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou, what's the next word?
Removed.
Say it again, removed.
Removed.
What does removed mean? Be thou removed and cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart to believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he said. In other words, it'll be removed. What does that mean? It means several things. It means things will obey you. Talk to them. Yeah, Pastor, that you're going off the deep end now. Talk to things and they'll obey me. You know they don't have ears.
Come on.
I don't want to be weird. You just called Jesus weird.
Yep. Come on.
He talked to a fig tree.
Yes, he did.
No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever.
That's right.
Yep.
A fig tree.
Yeah.
If you were one of his disciples, you'd be tempted to go, I don't know him. I'm over here. Somebody's looking while he's doing that. I'm over here. I'm not traveling with him. Talking to a tree.
Come on.
He did. Yeah, but he's the creator of that tree, and it would listen to him. Wait a minute. Jesus didn't say, that obeyed me because I'm the creator of that tree. He said, whosoever.
Yes, sir.
Whosoever.
Yes, sir.
Say, I'm a whosoever. I'm a whosoever. You're a whosoever. It'll obey you. Whosoever shall say, shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He'll have whatsoever he saith. Not whatever God says, whatever he says. God's saying it's not going to work for you. You have to say what he said. Abraham didn't just say, you know what God just said, I'm a father of a multitude. No, he said, I'm a father of a multitude. God said it, but I say, I'm a father of a multitude. You won't have what God said just because God said it. You'll have what you say. Somebody said, well, what if God said it, won't it come to pass? Not until you say it. Why? Because you're an authority in your life. You're the authority in your life. God won't push anything off on you. Amen.
That's right.
Well, what if God said it and I don't say it? Jesus said you won't have anything then. If you'll say what God said, God will do what you say. That's what he's saying. God will do what you say, but you got to say it. Now, finishing this up, Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Say removed. Say removed.
Removed.
Talk to things like they'll move when you speak to them. Jesus spoke to wind and waves, and they stopped. Isn't that right? Didn't he do that? The Bible said in Hebrews 11:34, you can turn armies to flight by faith. Turn them. Tell your neighbor, turn them. James 5 says you can start things and stop things with your tongue. And you can turn things with your tongue like a horse or a ship. Isn't that right? Or James 3, excuse me. James 5 says Elijah started and stopped rain. Come on now. You can set things in motion. Lord said to me years ago, I said, I don't think I'm ever want an airplane. He said, don't start setting that in motion now. Don't start setting that in motion now. So I set an aircraft in motion. And it's coming to pass before our very eyes right now. Hallelujah. But say it again, removed. I'm trying to get this done. Say removed. If a person's out of order in the service and was removed from the service, does that mean they left voluntarily?
No,
the ushers... The ushers, they didn't leave on their own. They were moved upon by the ushers and required to do do something whether they wanted to or not. And that's what Jesus said things will do whenever you say. They might have been there. They might have been there. It might be as everlasting as the everlasting hills. It's been a part of your family since all the generations you've ever heard of. In fact, you got on whatever that ancestor thing is and searched, and they all had that same hoogamooga. And it seems as everlasting as the everlasting hills. But he said it'll move if you will speak to it.
That's right.
Woo, glory to God. Is that Jesus' words or did Pastor Jay make that up? I didn't say it. Jesus said it. People get mad at me. That they got problems with Jesus, not me. Hallelujah. People are waiting for circumstances to just go away. You know what I'm talking about? When Jesus said, you remove it. I kid you not. Before God, I lie not. For 5 days, I don't know, Todd would be interested in this. For 5 days, there was something, I don't know where it was. We got out and looked everywhere we could look. And there was something, I guess it was behind the siding in our master bedroom up in the corner. If you're laying on the bed, it's up in the left-hand ceiling up there. There was something up there for 5 nights in a row. Some rodent up in there. And we looked inside and outside, flashlights outside and everything. Looked in the daytime for chew marks and everything. Can't find that critter. 5 nights in a row. Next night, you can hear it up. It was real quiet at night. You can hear it. And I looked again, looked under the, went down in the basement. There's no way to get up in through there. There's siding on the outside. I guess he cried up, something crawled up under the siding in that corner. And we couldn't find it. And I'm like, I'm not tearing all that siding off. So it's written. It's written. You'll tread the lion and the adder and the dragon and the scorpion and all those things underfoot. In other words, you got authority over all these critters. So what night was it? First night Pastor Debbie left. She left on Thursday, was it? So Thursday night, heard it again. I was awakened at 12:20. Something chewing up. It just sounded like a mouse. It sounded like something bigger. I'm laying there thinking, I got to get some word on this. And the Lord gave me all this about the lion and the adder and the dragon and all these things. And so I said, I got authority over critters. Besides, Genesis said, I give you authority over everything that creeps on the earth.
That's right.
So I'm going to call that a creep. That's what it is. It's a creep. And the faith of God rose up in me, and I said, I rebuke you and I command you not to chew on my house anymore. What did he do? He kept on chewing. I said, I believe, I receive. Ha, 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 I got it. And I just rejoiced that it was done, fell asleep again. Actually, right before I fell asleep, the Lord said, this will be the last night you hear it. But I woke up later. Well, I thought, this is still tonight.
That's right.
But now for 2 days, I haven't heard it. I hope a coyote got it or something like that, you know. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we just let too much up to the natural. We're waiting. We're waiting for things to stop. You know what I'm talking about? We're waiting for poverty to leave. We're waiting for a better doctor's report. Just hoping things will go away. They won't do it oftentimes voluntarily. They got to be removed. Tell your neighbor it's your faith that removes it. Hallelujah. How long are you going to put up with this? How long are you going to put up with that? Get it out of your life. Remove it. How many of you are getting better at this all the time? You're learning to walk by faith. Learning to not allow things. The Lord will allow what we allow so many times. Because really, we're the ones in authority. Well, praise God for the word.